You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Isn't that powerful? It's powerful. You know, there's something in all of us that resonates with that movie. At least there was and is with me. This is an emotionally charged movie, right? And in this, it resonates. At least it resonates with me, and I think a lot of us. Here, get some of these lyrics. I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, not one no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. And then she goes on and she says, when the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood, going to drown them out. I'm brave, I'm bruised. I'm who I'm meant to be. This is me. And she says this whole song, you know, you just hear her singing this song and you hear and feel the passion of this, right? And you're pulled in and you're cheering for him. And there's something in you that inside you that resonates and you want to go along with her, right? But what you don't see is what happens when they get done with the song and when they go home and when the bearded lady puts her head on her pillow at night. Is she thinking at that point, is she thinking that she's glorious? Is she thinking that, is she thinking the same way that they're thinking now? See, there's this word that I've learned this week, actually, called compensation. And it's when we want to compensate for our weaknesses. I looked it up, and here's what it says. This is what it says about compensation. The term compensation refers to a type of defense mechanism in which people overachieve in one area to compensate for failures in another. For example, individuals with poor family lives may direct their energy into excelling above and beyond what is required at work. And there's a psychological strategy that allows people to disguise their inadequacies, their frustrations, their stretches, their urges by directing energy toward excelling or achieving in other areas. I don't mean to be a downer. I don't mean for you to see the movie in a different light. But isn't it true with us? I mean, here's an example of how this can happen. A young, aspiring fourth grade boy sitting in a classroom. And the teacher asks, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all these little kids are raising their hands. She's calling on these other kids. Finally, she calls on the little fourth grade boy, Ryan. And Ryan stands up and he says, I want to be the president of the United States. And she laughs, like many of you are trying to laugh right now, hold it back right now. And she laughs. And she says, Ryan, you sit down. You will never be the president of the United States. Now, it's a good thing. Some of you all are thinking, my goodness, he can't hardly run a church, let alone, you know. But that's not the point. The point is when I sat down, something inside me vowed that I was going to prove her wrong. That I was going to compensate for what she didn't see in me and what I believed about myself. And then layers upon layers upon layers, a coach, another teacher, kids or students or friends or and then life experiences and happenings. And before I know it, there are so many layers to this. An abusive boss named Opie, of all things. And me thinking to myself, one day, one day I'm going to be Opie's boss, right? One day. And here's what happens. All of these things start adding up upon layers upon layers. And one begins to compensate for these lies that are spoken over and these lies that you come into agreement with. And I'm not the only one. There are many of us, I think, here that run this race, that are in this grind. We've got something to prove. We got something that we're trying to overcome. And for years, sometimes a lifetime of overcompensating, bound to a lie, we don't live freed. We live in bondage. And it drives us, literally drives us out of a marriage. It literally destroys your relationships, faith. People begin then to miss out on what God has truly called them to do. And I believe right here in this room and all around us, there are people overcompensating for a lie that they believed about themselves. A lie that they believe that they're trying to prove wrong. And so when you see a movie clip like this, and you see a bearded lady, and you see a little man, and you see a lady with a skin pigmentation disorder, or you see a biracial lady. There's something about that that draws us in, that moves us in, that we lean into that because it's really a story about all of us. And when we hear that, that emotion that's evoked is really an emotion within us that comes into identity with what they're singing about. Because we know, too, what it's like when we go home. Worn out, beat down, and we put our heads on our pillow. And inside, there's this hole in our heart. No matter how hard we've tried, we have not been able to fill. In the scripture, there was someone else who I believed compensated or overcompensated for what he believed. And perhaps it was an overzealous father pushing him and living out his life through his son, kind of hovering over his son, pushing him and wanting him to be more. Or maybe it was a son desperately trying to find validation because he never really felt good enough. He wasn't validated. And so he was looking to be validated. No, we don't know, and we'll never know this side of heaven. But what I do know is that Paul in the scripture, you will see his resume. And you will see someone who desperately was trying to become something other than who he was. He was trying to fill this hole in his heart, folks. So I want to read this to you. And as I read this, I want you to feel in his resume the compensation. All right? I want you to feel this. In Philippians 3, 4, 5, and 6, here's what it says. It says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I mean, in that, you can kind of hear, he can almost be singing the song, folks. This is me. Boom. You know what I mean? I don't think Paul danced. I'm just saying. He's almost singing the song here. He is singing the song here. And you're seeing it. You see and you feel within him, you know, this person that he aspired to be. That's his resume. There's two other resumes I think that you could use for an example. I mean, crazy example. Some of y'all aren't even going to know who this is, but some of us will, all right? This is what I watched when I was a little kid. Like Popeye, do we have Popeye? Where is he at? There he is, Popeye. It's Popeye the Sailor. Some of y'all are, what the world's that? This is old school Popeye. The new school Popeye, no one aspires to be him. This is the guy that you wanted to be like. Old school Popeye, right? Now, Popeye's theme and what he said about himself, I am what? What would he say about himself? I am what? I am what I am. That's what he would say. I am what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, right? I never really aspired to be Popeye the Sailor Man. He was a simple, skinny guy. He always got picked on. He was always beat up by, you know, Brutus would always come down on him, right? And he had an ugly girlfriend named Olive Oil, you know? And Olive Oil, man, she just never really, she made me never want to have a girlfriend, right? Olive Oil, she was just, and so Popeye, old school Popeye, you know, but there was something about old school Popeye. I saw myself as old school Popeye in that I was also kind of skinny, looking for a way to make a difference. And Popeye, how did he compensate? He compensated with what? Spinach. Crazy stuff, isn't it? There's no protein in spinach. I don't know who wrote this. This is before there was dietitians. I'm just saying, okay? But spinach. I mean, when I was little, I'm like, Mom, get the spinach, you know? So Mom would always induce, she would always like trick me when we'd have soup beans. She would say, now that's your greens. I'm like, is that spinach? That's spinach. It wasn't spinach, it was turnip green, whatever. And so, spinach, I wanted spinach, you know? Why did I want spinach? Because I wanted to be like Popeye. And what did Popeye do? Popeye went from one place to another place. He would eat his spinach. He would always fight against Brutus the bully. Man, I just want to pop Brutus in the nose, you know what I mean? And in the gut, and then take a bat to him. I mean, you know, Brutus. I didn't like Brutus at all. And he would always run from one direction to another, and he was always eating spinach and rescuing people. Perhaps compensating for who he thought he was. I am what I am. I'm just a simple sailor. The truth is that I would have not watched Popeye if he lived up, you know, if he's just about the song and just about I am what I am. No, we watched Popeye because there was something in Popeye that we saw that we liked. And there's this other man. The second man, I'm going to show you. The second man is someone that you're all gonna love and appreciate. And the truth is, if you're a Bengal and a Browns fan, and if there's any of y'all in the house, I don't think I hear anyone. There's probably not. but you know, it's football season, and we can look at this guy because we will never have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ohio, I don't think. But Brett Favre, right? You have Brett Favre. What about Brett Favre? Brett Favre, at one point, until Tom Brady, unfortunately, came along. I don't know why that ever happened, but the sort of reason the Lord. But here's the truth. Brett Favre, right, at one point, was the greatest of all time. Whether you like it or not, he was. He broke every NFL football record and was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Okay, so here you have Brett Favre, right? And in his Hall of Fame speech, has anyone heard it? Jerry helped me see this week. 38 minutes. You got to watch it. 38 minutes. It's 38 minutes of Brett Favre giving his Hall of Fame speech. At one point, was probably the best of all time. And in his speech, he's thinking all of his family, his mom, his brothers, his wife, his brothers, his kids, just giving honor to all of them. And his dad had died. His dad had gone on to be with, you know, he had passed. And so, here's the truth. The truth is that when you watch this and you hear him talk about his dad, who never told him that he was great or awesome. He never heard, the only compliment he ever heard his dad give him was behind closed doors, and he was listening to his dad talk to some assistant coaches talking about his son. That was the only comment. And he talks about his dad's toughness. Now, I'm not beating up on his dad, because his dad had, I'm sure, a hole in his heart just as well, right? But it's amazing to me to see here you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's standing up, giving his Hall of Fame speech, and nearing the end of the speech, he says, "I hope you're proud, Dad." Think about that. At one point, the greatest of all time, broke every NFL record, and he still does not quite have the assurance in knowing that his father was proud of him. See, I think that we all, in some form or fashion, when we really dig down deep, there's a hole we're trying to fill. And you know what? Sometimes that hole, you may be a follower of Jesus and still be following or still be trying to fill that hole at times. Compensating. Overcompensating. Here's what Paul said. Here's the good news. Ashton talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, the good news is Paul saw the light. Paul was on the road. Jesus spoke to Paul. Jesus approached Paul, and Paul had a conversion of sorts, right? And after that conversion, Paul had a changed life. And there were different people that came into his life and prayed for him, Ananias being one, and others. And they brought Paul, and Paul began to really pursue and follow after God and receive truth and to allow Jesus to fill the hole within his heart. Here's the good news. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. So Paul's in the second part. He's writing his resume, and he gets to verse 7, and he says this. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. In the King James, it's not garbage, it's dung. I love saying that word, dung. He counts it as basically worthless so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Folks, this is powerful stuff. This is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. You talk about Paul and his conversion. I mean, this was a man that literally, you know, really sought after, you know, Christ followers and pursued them and wanted to kill them and killed them. Trying to fill that hole, and as crazy as it sounds, fill the hole in his heart. You know, he was so zealous about this. He was moving forward in all of this. He was trying to do whatever it took to find that validation or whatever his lie was, whatever it was that he came into agreement with. And his resume speaks of all that. And then you get after his resume to verse 7, and he shares his testimony of what he's found that has given him validation. What he's found that's given him peace. What he's found that has filled the hole in his heart. Look at verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yet Everything else is worthless when compared with infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And he's basically saying that him becoming one with Christ and allowing his truth to come into his heart and life is all the compensation he needs. I think you need to hear that this morning, that Jesus is all the compensation you need. Amen. He's all you need. Amen. I heard that. It's all you need. And Lord, may these words and scriptures ring true in her life. It would save her a whole lot of pain, would it not, adults? Many of us have spent a lifetime trying to grind this thing out, man. Trying to prove to ourselves, prove what we think, prove to others that we do matter, that we do measure up, that we are good enough, that we are good at something. If we take verse 9 and we take Paul's resume and we take what Paul found and we take this beautiful story, bad news, good news, and we take that in chapter 4 and we back it up, right? And you get to verse 3, right? Here's what it says. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, Paul says. And in 1 Peter, he's helping Peter out when he shares this with, or Peter's basically giving validation. Here, check this out. Here is the only compensation we need in 1 Peter. This is what it says. Verse 18, chapter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you. That's compensation, folks. To save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. Hey, all of our holes are the holes in our heart are, more times than not, they're generational. The hole you feel is the hole that your dad or mom felt. A lot of this is generational. They're saying it's generational here. A ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. The empty life, that basically, that's the hole in your heart. You inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Make no mistake, folks. The compensation, praise the Lord, it comes through Christ Jesus and the ransom that he paid for us all. In all our weaknesses, Jesus says, in everything that we've ever believed about ourselves, the ideas that we don't measure up, the ideas that we're not good enough, the idea that you know, and all in the hole that we have. And I don't know what your hole is. I don't know what you deal with or what you struggle. I do some of you, but not all of you. Your struggle, you know, your ache, your pain, you know what I mean? When you lay your head on your pillow at night, folks. Jesus says, this is about me. This is me. Put your faith in me. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and I'm almost done. Hang with me. This is good. The scripture here is really powerful stuff, and I don't want you to miss it. But Paul was having trouble putting his head on his pillow at night. Paul was struggling. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians, Paul was struggling. He was struggling. He could have trouble putting his head on his pillow at night. There was this ache, and we don't know what the ache was. We don't know if it was physical. I believe it was emotional. There was an emotional struggle. And it says in 2 Corinthians that he pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away. How many of you have ever pleaded with the Lord, with the pain, with whatever you're dealing with? God, take it away. How many of y'all? Right? All of us, right? Paul's pleading this. He's like, God, take it away, you know? And he says, I pleaded with the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, this is what the Lord said. He says, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me, Paul says. Paul, struggling, pleads with the Lord three times. Spirit of the Lord comes to Paul and speaks to Paul. And he says this. And I'll say it again in a different translation. He says this. He says that Jesus says to Paul, my strength is perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient. Sufficient, sufficient. My grace basically is all you need. That, his grace, basically saying his grace, his compensation is all you need. God help us. And when this is true, you can boast about your weaknesses. Why does Paul say that? Paul says that you can boast about your weaknesses because you can share what God's doing in you and through you. I believe that God wants us to boast about our weaknesses. In our weakness, he is made perfect. Look, God wants to fill that hole in your heart this morning. Jerry, would you come? Would that be all right? Jerry's going to come and play. Let's all stand. Father God, just be with us this morning. I don't know where this is going, but I know this. I know that it is 11:53. We've got a couple moments here, a couple minutes here. We've been here for 53 minutes. And I pray that for someone here this morning, that these 53 minutes would be the most powerful minutes in their life. Because I believe there's someone, that there is someone here that is struggling to fill the hole in their heart. I believe there is someone that is struggling, Lord, with this pain in their flesh, this pain, emotional pain. And they just need you to come like you did with Paul and speak to them. Would you do that this morning, God? May these 53 minutes, 54 now, by the time it's over, this hour be the most important hour in someone's life. So my question to you guys before you leave, Labor Day weekend, some of y'all may be saying, Ryan, I didn't come for this. I didn't come to be challenged this morning. Some of you are like, bring it on, Ryan, I need this, bring it on. I just don't want anyone to spend any more of their life trying to be something they're not. And working and the grind and the and trying to fill that hole, that void. So with me this morning, would you just right where you're at, just say, Father, forgive me. Say it, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for how I've tried to compensate for my weaknesses. Forgive me for how maybe in this one particular area I may have neglected. I may have lived in a way where I've tried to prove something that I'm not. So for some of us, it may be our jobs, careers. Some of us, maybe it's working in the church. Some of us, man, It's moving in and out of relationships, trying to compensate for the hole that you have in your heart. Some of us, who knows? You know what I'm talking about this morning. Just say, Father, forgive me. And then I want you to ask God to come and fill that hole. Can you do that? Ask God to be the ransom, to ask God to save you, to be your compensation. Just say it. Just say, Father God, save me. Set me free. God, speak truth to me like you did Paul. Help me to embrace the idea and the fact that your power is made perfect in my weakness. Can you pray that? Lord, help us this morning. Now, all over this room right now, I just feel compelled to ask you to do this. All over this room, I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little awkward and uncomfortable maybe for you. But can we just gently, out loud, just pray? Just pray out and thank God for who he is and what he means. Just pray with me. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray with me. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray out loud with me. Father, thank you for filling the hole in my heart. Thank you, God. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your healing. Thank you, God, for what you mean to me, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done in the life of this church, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done in the community, what you're doing in and through us. And now just ask God, God, may your strength, may in my weakness, your strength, may it be perfect. In my weakness, may your strength be made perfect. In my weakness, may your strength be made perfect. Just pray that out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We love you. We love you. I love you. I thank you for all these people. God, they all come from different backgrounds, different, very diverse. And I celebrate that diversity. Lord, in a lot of ways, we resonate with this movie. But I pray that not one person that leaves here puts their head on a pillow without knowing that you're there and knowing that you can bring peace to their heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.